Well, good evening. This is Ralph Winterode with the Ralph Winterode Show from True Seeker of the Far North. What a world we live in. I think we're all saddened by what happened back in Virginia Tech. It's really an unfortunate situation. It's a bit beyond that type of a statement. This fellow, though, that they keep talking about, this Korean that did this, that, you know, the part that really bothers me is that they say he was on prescription drugs, but they will not identify those prescription drugs. And we've had several shootings in Alaska that resulted in people getting killed, and one of them was an Alaska State Trooper chased a fellow into a trailer. And the trooper hopped over the fence, and the guy shot him. And everybody said, well, he's a nice guy. And what would cause somebody that's a nice guy or somebody to become this unbalanced? And it only came up once in the paper. They printed that he was on Ritalin, and he'd went off of Ritalin cold turkey. And from my limited knowledge, Ritalin, going off of it when you're really taking a lot of Ritalin and you just quit on it, there's all kinds of ramifications. And I'm wondering, as deranged as this fellow was in Virginia Tech, why aren't they putting forth what prescription drugs that he was taking? I've seen it mentioned, but nobody will talk about it. Of course, the other situation comes up is because, which has been all over the news, but the question that you should always ask, do I have the right to defend myself? And, of course, the answer has to be a yes, because if I don't have the right to defend myself, then if you're going to provide my public safety, where is your security or bond for the if I get injured or end up getting killed? And I, you know, there's no way to discern what would have happened back in Virginia Tech if they had it passed so that some of those students could have had weapons in there, because obviously any weapons in a in any of those classrooms, if you're totally defenseless, you're at the discretion of the guy that brings a gun into the classroom, and you have no defense. Well, if there had been one gun there, who knows how many lives may have been saved. And there probably would have been a lot of lives saved. This is this crazy world that we live in, and if you look at the statistics on the people that have, in Alaska, you don't have to get a permit anymore. They changed that. That's probably the only good thing that Governor Murkowski did. I can think of that I would really approve of, but you don't have to have a permit to carry a concealed weapon. But imagine if there'd been some concealed weapons in those classrooms, and the statistics on people with concealed weapons that commit crimes is almost non-existent. I don't know of any in Alaska ever. I can definitely tell you that it is most certainly lower than the police, because there's been several instances where the police have killed people, and they've gotten away with it by the fact that it's like the one down in Kenai where they killed a unarmed, crippled person that assaulted his pants, and they shot four times in the back and killed him, unarmed. And they got away with it. If you go look at the other statistics, which I put out on an email, of Washington, D.C., where Congress does its total whim without any of the, quote, several state legislatures, they're number two on murders with no weapons. New Orleans is the only city, a large city, rated higher than Washington, D.C., and only slightly. An armed public is a polite public, and I saw a video that somebody was sending around the internet where this young lady, where her parents were shot and killed in an instance where somebody came in.
Did you hear?
And her main point at the end is the reason why we have an absolute right to carry guns is to protect ourselves from the government. That's our final protection. If a government gets out of control and we have no means to protect ourselves. Well, we're going to break, and when we get back, we'll continue on. I think I'm going to talk about the IRS.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Well, we're back from break. And I just want to make a short comment about Al Sharpton, and then I'm going to talk about the IRS on an instance of how they trap the American people. I was watching some of the videos of Al Sharpton and some of the, what I consider this man is a despicable fellow. I mean, he went after IMUS, and that's fine with what he said, but IMUS does satire. I mean, he's gone after everybody in the world, all these comedians. I mean, and of course, the rappers love Al Sharpton. He does. He stays. He remains quite silent on the verbiage that they used. And he's used words like diamond merchants, white interlopers, and the N-word. Called the mayor of New York a whore. Referred to people as Greek homos. Now, I would say those are pretty degrading terms, the words to be used. And he's used them in a public forum against people. Now, the one thing in some of these is, of course, that he's used them against a big figure, like the mayor. But does that still make it correct? The, technically, the basketball or the players that were playing down there were not public figures. But does that still make it all right for him to use those type of that type of verbiage and the N-word over and over and over? Now it's all right for them, is it, but not for anybody else? Sorry, I don't go along with two sets of standards. Jesse Jackson and Sharpton are just, oh, they're in an area where I can't say what I think of them on the radio, but they're not to be believed, I'm telling you. They're creating more problems. They're not out to, for the black, for the people of the black race. They're not out there to help them. They're stirring the pot, creating hard feelings and problems, and then you see some of these people that get wound up on this, and there's no logic. I mean, you just, there's no way to deal with them. What I'm going to talk about today is one of the problems that many, many, many people have been involved with the Internal Revenue Service, and I'm going back and researching this out again and documenting it. And the problem is, we get tangled up with the IRS, and they come after us, and we try to get proof of either a what's called a Form 23C assessment document, or they want to send what is called a 43 summary, which is just presumptive evidence. It's just presumed to be correct. And they don't even use the forms anymore. They come out with this RACS 4.06. This comes out of some computer, so somebody just types it in, and then somebody, some flunky somewhere, puts his signature to it, and somehow it's valid. And you can go to the home page of the Internal Revenue Service, and it's just unbelievable what these guys are have gotten away with here. And I'm going to read just a little bit of the quote of stuff. They're talking about the RAC 6. There is no legal requirement that a summary record of assessment be provided to a taxpayer before the service may proceed to collection activity. I don't even have to tell you. And then it says, and I'm quoting, further, if a taxpayer requests proof that an assessment was made, the service is not required to provide any particular form or information in any particular format to the taxpayer, so long as the service provides the information required by Treasury Regulation 301.6201. It's unbelievable. People get tangled up in this, and they have no means. There's so many cases on this. And they actually cite two different cases in here that that they use and to back up their stuff. And, this was a 2000 case. And they go in to affirm that the IRS doesn't have to provide anything. It's just presumptive evidence that a valid tax has been assessed, and that's it. You're not allowed to get any documentation to prove that there was ever actually the assessment, ever. They say the Form 43 is a presumption, and it's a printout, and that's it, folks. You can't go any farther. So the question becomes, that's one of the cases, this one here, it's, it happens to be Roberts versus the Commissioner of Internal Revenue in 2003. It's, and the other one is that they give also exactly this mirrors this. It's another one, Mark versus Internal Revenue Service. And so how do you fight a claim when somebody types in something into a computer, finds it some buried back in the bowels of Babylon? How do you fight that? There is a means to do it. There's a means. I'm doing the research here, assisting, providing research material to a party. And what is so little understood is because the one of the regulations that they use is that 301-6203-1 reg. The courts just love that because it is an administrative reg. But to get to the core of the problem so that you actually have a chance to beat these guys, boy, that's hard enough to do because the courts, you know, are all corrupt. But there is a way to get these guys cornered, and we're going to go after this lady here. In an affidavit that the 4340 certificate assessment is correct. The first place that everything, because all these agencies are under Congress, there has to be a statutory authority for these agencies to proceed via are using regulations. Well, the agencies do not want to use regulations except a few occasionally, but like that 301.6203-1, where's the hook that kills it? Well, the logic, it's a chain of evidence that has to start, and you have to start with statutory authority under 5 U.S.C. 552A1. And it is all subsidy rules of general application adopted, authorized by law, that's by Congress, got to be out of public forum. And that's published in the Federal Register. I'm just interpreting what it says. And it says if they are not there, you cannot be adversely affected. Now, that is the statutory authority, and there are several regulations in the Code of Federal Regulations, because the United States Code is their acts of Congress, they're not even laws of the United States, but that is the statutory authority of Congress, and the regulations then must go back to the statute if they have the force and effect of law. So we start with 552A1. Now we have to prove a couple of things to reel these guys in. And the first one is under 26 CFR 601.702A. This is where the IRS and all of these agencies have all done this, all of them, somewhere. They must agree that they're going to abide by 552A1. They're going to publish the regulation in the Federal Register. So now they have to publish it. But what they don't tell you, and this is in 26 CFR, like I say, 601.702A, that there are three types of regulations. Okay, there are three types of regulations in the CFRs, Code of Federal Regulations. They are prepped, and you can identify them by the numbers that are sitting in front. The 601 part, now this is in the same CFR, the 601 point something are procedural rules. The 301s are administrative and procedural regulations. And then it goes on to this nice little word that's called substantive regulations under the Internal Revenue Code, such as Part 1 of this chapter, which is income tax regulations, Part 20, estate, or Part 31, employment tax regulation. So, what did I just say? Restated. Anytime you go into the CFR, there are three types of regulations. Procedural, which are 601. There are the 301, which are administrative. And they actually use the word substantive regulation, which goes right back to 552. A1, type 552A1. They must publish them, and the only ones that have force effect of law, the only ones that affect us, must have a statutory authority. And there are several regulations under that. Now, the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled in Chrysler versus Brown, Supreme Court is ruling 441 U.S. 281. That's the only regulation, a force and effect of law. Now, isn't it a nice force and effect of law? They're not law of the United States. So Congress is trying to reach back from outside the Constitution into the people of the several states. They aren't too smart because they signed up for the citizens of the United States status. I'll continue on after the break. And we'll find out more about the internal revenue fraud.
Business. Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employers shouldering more of the burden themselves. Word Documents, its primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. Health Reimbursement or HRA. Businesses, manager, find out now how your company utilizes a higher deductible health insurance policy. Establish an HRA to fund deductibles for employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRN can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discussing how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the primary source for full plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor in 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at CoreDocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, Documents, plural.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
It's terrific.
And it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there. Get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, it's toll-free, 866-222-3017 or coffeeking.biz. I'll do now. Thanks.
I found this company online and had this really variety of wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful lamp. According to the company, they said that all crystal lamps gently purify your air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room. It made a perfect nightlight. My husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers all wellness products around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service is great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-710.
Okay, we're back for a break, and we have another short segment. We'll have a long segment, and if anybody has any questions, be sure to call in at 800-313-943. So the question begins, comes back to just a brief summary again, is we have this presumptive evidence presented by IRS. They just printed out in a 4340 or this RACS 006, just a printout, computer. It's presumptive evidence. How do you deal with a thing called presumptive evidence? Case after case after case where people go up and they don't understand the problem. First, what is presumptive evidence? It is only prima facie evidence of law. And it's got to be rebutted with evidence. It's got to be rebutted with real evidence. And so this is the way you challenge these guys to deal with it. And you must start that all statutory authority for nonsense comes out of Title 5, United States Code 552A1. That's statutory authority for these agencies. They all accept it. There's all kinds of. I've researched them out. Department of Transportation, DOD, all these guys, Homeland Security. You can't see their regulations because we're not smart and we went to see those because I really saw those. Probably would be an uprising. So you start with the first thing of evidence, 552, United States Code, 5 U.S.C. 52A1. That's the statutory authority. Then you must link that with the IRS and their stuff, the 2601.01. 601 is a procedural regulation. It says we're going to abide by this stuff, but what this one says, it's a regulation. This is a quote out of this. The regulations relating to the taxes administered by the service are contained in Title 26 of the Code of Federal Regulations. Not Title 27, not 28, Title 26. So they're going to administer by regulations Title 26. Okay, so now we've got them linked with this other 601-702, entitled 26 CFRs, that they're going to abide by what Congress has mandated, and they're telling us that there are three types of regulations in the CFRs. And you can identify them by 601-point-something, which is procedural, 301, which is administrative, and then if it's income tax, it's going to have 1 point and then some code section. Or if it's estate, it's going to have 20-point or period, some code section. Or 31 if it's employment taxes, so it'll be 31 period and then some four-digit number, usually with a dash or something behind it. And it also says in that, if you fail to publish, cannot be adversely affected. And it says, for example, any such matter which imposes an obligation and which is not so published or incorporated by reference shall not adversely change or affect a person's rights. Of course, person is a fictional law. That's another whole can of worms in 1983. Not the sovereign. So, now we've got 552, Title 5, 552A1, being admitted by IRS, a public record, that they're going to abide by it. And the IRS tells us that we're going to put into the CFRs three types of regulations. Procedural, 601, administrative, 301, and subsidy regulations that have the force and effect of law. And that is the holding of the Supreme Court, Chrysler versus Brown, 441 U.S. 281, 1979 case, still good law. It's amazing, though, of very few cases have ever been, they don't seem, people haven't caught on to what's going on and has application to all these agencies, including the IRS. There's no way around it. So the next question becomes, if I go into the Code of Federal Regulations, how do I find these three? Are they flagged? Do they say, hi, I'm a procedural. Hi, I'm administrative. Or you'll find a regulation that may have 1 point something behind it. But how do you discern what type of regulation it is? That's one of the best kept secrets out there. And it's not too complicated. They publish the parallel table of authorities, and that's a ruse. You're wasting your time in the parallel table of authorities. You're going absolutely nowhere. They may say on some of these that it's in Title 27, Part 70. Big deal, hoo-ha. That's no force and effect of law. So how do I discern? And when we come back from break, in the next section, I'm going to get into how you discern and find subsidy regulation.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
in our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
And I'm going to discuss how do we find the three types, how do we distinguish the three types of regulations that are setting in the CFRs? Because only one of them, only one, has any force and effect of law. Now, the one that the that they like to use in these courts is a 301, and a 301 is not a subsidy regulation just because it has the statutory authority, if it did have a statutory authority, because it's strictly an administrative regulation. You can't use administrative regulations in the courts. But they use them all the time. And let's just take this one case here. This is just a good case here. This is a good example that the IRS has on their homepage. If you go to their homepage and type in Form 4340, it's the first thing that comes up. This is Roberts versus the Commissioner of Internal Revenue, 329 F3D 1224. And this is a hoo-ha, because they go down here, and now this is right out of their smoke and mirror stuff. And it's the jugular to get to the bottom of this stuff. Because right in this case, it says, pursuant to this statute, 26 U.S.C. 6203, the Secretary promulgated 26 CFR 301.603-1. Well, this 6203 is the administrative reg. Well, guess what, folks? There also is a, in the Code of Federal Regulations, there is a table that shows if this has been promulgated, or the other way that you tell is at the bottom of all of the CFRs, in brackets, now this is the square guys, the brackets, you will see FR Federal Register. Great information, because you could go back and see if they had an effective date, and if they did not allow comments, it obviously cannot be a subsidy regulation, because all subsidy regulations have to have a comment period. And really what they're saying is, by the subsidy regulations, if we have a comment period, yo, you citizens of the United States out there, you folks that have abandoned your birthright and took on this fictitious status, do you have any objections to us ruling over you with a regulation that looks like law? That's the force and effect of law, but it's not the laws of the United States. That's what subsidy regulations are. They have a comment period. The other two types, they just say effective. But getting back to how do I find, by looking in the Code of Federal Regulations, if this thing has a force and effect of law? Well, the good folks have done two ways to do this. The ones that normally have to do with aliens, a lot of those, they all have the brackets, the Federal Register, where they've been published, but you don't know how they've been published, whether they were just published or there was a comment period. Well, what you have to do, and it says right in the several regulations in the CFRs, how you tell is the word has to be in, not in brackets, but it has to be in parentheses. And it will have the word authority. And then it will list that code section or other code sections. They don't have to track. That's one of the games that the people have been pursuing the 861 argument haven't figured out yet for some reason, is that the 861 is authorized, the 861 is authorized by 863. But so getting back to this, you can look at the regulation and look at the bottom and see if it has brackets, which they will have, and they'll have Federal Register. They're real good about putting that there. Most of them do not have the parentheses authority at the bottom on the Title 26 CFR site. What they've done is they have three different tables for Part 1, one for, that's income tax, one another table for Part 2 or 20, which is estate, and the other one is for Part 31, employment taxes. So you have to be smart enough to know that just when you see this regulation, you have to know and go look it up in the Part 1 table, which is many, many pages, and see if that particular regulation shows up, and then it will show the particular part of a statute or statutes that it uses. Very, very few people, for some reason, haven't, and I can understand why. Now, when I first started doing this, I found out about this, and then I got a hold of Westlaw, and they had removed all but four out of the many hundreds of those out of Title 26 and 31. I made them put them back. They're modifying public records. They took it out of Title 26 and out of Title 31 because they did not want people to be able to understand what's going on here, because when you start to understand this, you can create a chain of evidence that can overcome the presumptive evidence, because the other just looks like smoke. Well, guess what, folks? I can show you where the fire is, and it's not where the smoke's coming from. So now, with that in mind, I go into the CFRs. I'm going to look at the bottom and see if there's anything in brackets, but there will be Federal Register. The thing that I want to look below that is it in parentheses, not brackets. It must have the word authority. And then it will list the, if it's in the table, it will list the particular regulation, and then it will show the statutory authority to be in compliance with Title 5, 552A1. So now we go and look at what the court has said in this one decision. Well, they say right in here that this 301, which is administrative reg, you can tell by the number at the beginning, point, and then it's got 6203-1. It says it's promulgated pursuant to this statute, 6203. Well, guess what, folks? Another flat-out lie, because there is also a table for the administrative regs if they have authority to publish same. Well, what is, probably what I should say is, if you go to 6201, let me get here to the actual, what it's called. This is the method of assessment. That's the name of that statute. Well, when you go to the 301 table that lists out regulations for the administrative side that are promulgated pursuant, like the court says, that particular administrative regulation just not there. Missing. So there's real evidence, if you can follow this chain, that you must have the statutory authority in Title V, 552A1. You must have the regulation where they've agreed that they're going to do it. Where they've agreed to it, and they're going to only abide by regulations that are contained within Title 26. And you add the Supreme Court case, now you have some real evidence to show that what these guys are doing, their prima facie evidence, is absolutely worthless. But it goes even beyond that. But that part, just to this part here, is really a tough thing for people to understand. I've explained it several times to a lot of people, and when you've been doing this for a while, it gets quite simple, of course, like anything does. But you must create the link from the statutory authority, which is 5 United States Code 552A1. They've agreed to do it in their procedural reg, so that's in 26 CFR 601.702A. And they've also agreed to have three types of regulations. And then with 26 CFR 601.101, they've agreed to only have regulations in Title 26. So now, with that in mind, I've got the statutory authority of Congress. I've got where the IRS has agreed to it in a regulation. I've got it where they say they're going to do it just with regulations in Title 26 and not in Title 27, which is ATF. I've got those links all down, and I know now how to discern it. I must find statutory authority in parentheses, and it will either be in a table. There are three subsidy regulation tables. I'll probably post those on my special email list again and reference them for the other people. I've put them out before. So there's three tables, and you must take the regulation and cross-reference it or go to the bottom and see if it says authority. But now we get into the real substance of the meat. Once we can get the statutory authority, we've got the IRS link that they're going to abide by it, and they're going to provide three types of regulations. And then there's some other that says it's got to have the authority in it. I'm not going to go into those because that just makes it harder to understand. To get to the core issue of, okay, now let's say the method of assessment when, like this particular instance, this DOJ interloper, states that she has provided all of the documents for a 4340 under this RACS 006. How can we get her for perjury? How do we get her for fraud on the court? Well, the obvious question becomes the solution. I'm going to take the method of assessment, the statutory authority to assess, 6203, out of Title 26, United States Code. And I'm going to look up what subsidy regulations have the force and effect of law. Where are they? Are they in Title 26, Title 27, or 26 and 27? And what makes it difficult, which they purposely have done, is they have stirred the pot, and then we're trying to separate out the three primary colors. And they have mixed the IRS with the ATF, all in Title 26, United States Code. Those code sections apply to one side or both sides. So you don't know. You have no way of knowing, just like 61. Source of gross income. There's no way to know unless you know on your gross income, unless you can know how to go in and find the subsidy regulations. So with Westlaw, and I'm sure Lexis and maybe other, I don't know how they do it, but in Westlaw, there is a separate field called the credits field. which is the authority field. It's a separate field in Westlaw. So I know how to do the Boolean word searches to make this stuff pop up. So I go in under the method of assessment, the certificates that this lady said, under Title 28, 1746, this is the outside the Constitution type of oath where nobody witnesses your signature. That's for those citizens of the United States, and you notice that the government folks love that 1746. They don't like to put the real seal and take the real oath, and how are you going to hold them to perjury out there? It's going to be hard, but with that said, I go into under, I want to find everything that's authorized for the method of assessment for Title 26. And I'm sure I must find some under the 26 CFRs, because they put people in jail for this all the time, and these courts keep ruling, overruling people that's trying to fight this, not understanding presumptive evidence. Well, guess what? When you go in to and check out all of the regulations that are authorized for the method of assessment under Title 26, United States Code 6203, where would you guess they all end up? 204 regulations, all in Title 27, ETF. Every one of them, without exception, on the method of assessment, is sitting all Title 27 ATF. Now, this lady put out a report, certificate of assessment, and validated it, attached to that, this report, under some guy's signature, an oath, and she put her an affidavit and put his stuff with it, that it's true and correct. But now what I'm doing right now, and I'm going through all 204, and then I'm IDing the sources for there's some other killer issues in there for the liens and levies and the 6331A, which a lot of people will be familiar with that without getting too off track here, because this is the main concept I want to stay on, because all of these trip words, I have a tendency to want to explain all the little nuances because there are so many of them. But the whole concept that I'm trying to get across today, and I'm going to put some of this out on my special list, the people that volunteer donate $120, I'm going to put some of these documents out and the summary of it and some of that stuff out so that people can actually see it. Because seeing is believing, because this is a tough concept. Because you can't go read the law. There are no laws in the United States. They don't exist. So they've created this little scam of Congress authorizes agencies. Agencies then promulgate three types of regulations of which Congress approves or disapproves, so it's a way to usurp the executive power. And then they put them in the Code of Federal Regulations. And then the only ones that have force and effect of law, then in Title 26, they put a statute that has effect in ATF and the IRS to make it confusing. Because most people can't, that's a problem. And then when we get into CFRs, then you have to be able, by some magical means, find out the ones that have the authority, and they don't put it at the bottom of the regulation, because that'd be way too simple. We have to always obfuscate the game. So we put them in three different tables, and we have another one for the 301 administrative stuff. And people don't even know they exist. How would you know they exist? You're reading in one book. If anybody's ever looked in the CFRs, and maybe 15, 20 books away, here's a table. How do you know that table sits there? They don't tell you it's there. And once you find out that the table's there, you go look your regulation up, and hoo-ha. The method of assessment is not there for Title 26. So then you have to have some database, some computer database, and I don't know if the government, or if there's ones out there that are applicable in that, because I've just used Westlaw. I've got extremely familiar with how to make that thing tell the truth when it wants to lie to me. We're going to break, and we'll be back for the short segment. If anybody's got any questions, be sure and call in. It's a complex subject.
That coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Well, we're back. We have a caller, Richard, in Alabama. Go ahead.
May I suggest that when tax season is over, you do an analysis of these documented foreign nationals. We have a lot of them in Alabama. They don't need a driver's license. They don't need to show up in traffic court. They can buy auto insurance, 1 month of insurance, without a driver's license, and I don't understand that. And they can register their car without a driver's license, and we can't get away with that.
It's the overthrow of the government, and when we understand that the people of this country have surrendered their birthright to take on this fictional status, the aliens have another fictional status, and, of course, the people that are up in charge are doing everything to undermine our constitutional republic. Because what you're saying is true. How do they do this stuff? And like Clinton, which is running for president, Obama's running for president, and they voted to give benefits to people that are illegal aliens that are, quote, breaking the law.
Yeah, I know.
And we can't do that. If we did that, we'd go to jail.
I know. These traffic court judges are just eager to issue bench warrants for failure to appear. But if it's the Mexicans, they won't do it. And the troopers will not take their foreign driver's licenses away from them. They won't do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any personal knowledge, but I don't doubt what you're saying is true. It's a means. All of these means, all of these things, it's just like all these truckers that are coming up that don't have out of Mexico here are coming up and don't have the requirements that are imposed by Congress upon the truckers of our country.
Yeah.
They're undermining our country. I mean, it just boggles the mind. These guys are evil at the top. They're bought and paid for by money, by foreign interest. How does this happen? It's like the Land of Oz or Alice in Wonderland, and you're having tea with the Queen, the rabbit, and she says, off with your head, off with your head. Oh, if you live here, off with your head. Oh, you don't live here. Just pass. Go right ahead. Not a problem.
And also, I want some ideas about what to do when they tell you that you need a mental exam and we're going to send you away for an exam just to see if you're sane.
Just child custody or traffic?
Once it was traffic and... The other was, well, I filed a lawsuit, and when I got to court, they just sent me off to the asylum.
Well, if they do that, this is one of their defenses. That's what I'm trying to do here, is to get a video and a book out, but a video with documentation. This is one of the defenses. If you try to bring up the Constitution or something, that these things that they don't want to hear in their court, that's one of the things. You must be mentally deranged. This is one of their defenses, because they're not going to deal with the truth. Because they can't, first of all, because they're criminals. They are criminals. And most of them know it. Some of the judges don't, but most of them have a darn good clue. Otherwise, they wouldn't do what they do.
Well, anyway, I'd like to learn the ins and outs of how they get away with this and what the excuses are, and maybe I could learn something from
them. Well, I have... an email list. You can go to my homepage, three of them that are free, and then I have one for $120 donations to try to help me stay above the poverty line so I can put out documents with ideas. And I'm working on, right now I'm getting my homepage modified and also of putting out some DVDs, because just like what I talked about, is a complex subject for most people to understand. It's simple to me because I've been doing it for so long. I don't know if you followed what I talked about there with the regulations or not. Did you follow that?
It was way over my head.
Yeah,
I'm
see,
sorry.
That I know. Well, we're going to, it looks like the show is over, and I will be touching on this again because it is a complex thing until you can see it. But get on my email list. Okay, thanks for calling in, and we'll see everybody Friday.
With research.